Well, all right. We've made it to Thursday, Rob. What do you think?
It's not Thursday. It can't be.
It is Thursday. And the weather's... I can confirm it is Thursday.
And the weather is still nice out
there. The weather is still nice at EAA Air Venture 2015. Now, you've been doing some work in the Pilot Proficiency Center.
I have, actually.
I mean, you are moonlighting.
As soon as I leave here every day, I've been running over to the Pilot Proficiency Center, where the Redbird simulators are all set up in nice little lines, and they have a VFR and an IFR section. And so for those people that have never flown a sim or are kind of new to flying at all, and we do an awful lot of scenario training, and it's really, really been interesting to watch how people fly a trip. They're not just out boring holes in the sky. So, and we've had a lot of people over there.
Well, that's fabulous. I hope they get a lot more as the weekend comes along too. Now, speaking of not just boring holes in the sky, who's our first guest here today?
I think
he's a guy who doesn't bore holes in the sky either.
No,
he's a purpose flyer.
But if he does, he writes about it.
He
and
does.
That's what's really interesting. Robert Goyer is the editor-in-chief of Flying Magazine.
Yes.
It's the first magazine I ever read when I was a kid, but that was before you were editor, I think. But you've been editor for, 20 years, 21 years? No, we said more than that, I think, haven't you? Or you've been there for that amount of time?
Yeah, I've been with Flying Magazine for 20 years. I've been editor-in-chief for 5 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome, and sorry to give you that extra plug of being editor for all those years when you actually weren't, but it's a great magazine. Everybody knows Flying, and I think that now that you're here, I mean, what have you seen this week that's really kind of jumped out at you?
Well, you're talking about the Pilot Proficiency Center, and that's something that I think is one of the biggest, very biggest stories we have here at Oshkosh this year. For those listeners who haven't heard, the Pilot Proficiency Center is a multifaceted approach to helping pilots, VFR, IFR, get more proficient, bone up on their knowledge and their skills, too. It has not only some fantastic tech talks that are sponsored by our good friends with Jeppesen, where they discuss everything from meteorology for dummies to mountain flying to, it's a tremendous opportunity to pick the brains of some very smart people. And they also have two banks of Redbird simulators where you can practice flying IFR scenarios, and really with an instructor right there. Our good friends from NAFI and SAFE are manning the sims there. And you have an opportunity to try some things that you probably don't want to try in real life, like an engine failure in the soup, for instance. And you have you also have got the opportunity to get critiqued as you're doing it. The instructors are right there to help out if anything is to go wrong. I've flown four or five of these scenarios myself this week. It's a lot of fun, kind of addicting. Once you go in there, you should definitely budget a couple of hours of your time.
Well, and you mentioned an interesting point about the proficiency part, and that's what's so magical about it, is that nobody goes away feeling bad, because we say, okay, so that didn't quite work out the way that maybe you thought it would. But what if we ran it again? What do you think you'd do differently the second time? And I had a young man in there and had about 12 hours total time yesterday, and he just kind of flew into some bad weather and thought he was going to climb above it and really got himself in trouble. And yeah, so we went through it, I said, and we went back and did it again. He went, oh, I should have turned around here, shouldn't I? I said, well, I don't know. You're the pilot. I should have turned around. So the fact that at 12 hours he got that made the whole thing worthwhile right there.
It's a great lesson. And the sad thing in light aviation is that in the past people have learned that lesson the hard way with very high degree of risk, or they have not learned it at all and things have gone very badly. So having the ability not only to fly these scenarios and to get that kind of experience the easy way, but also have guidance there while you're doing it is absolutely priceless.
And as I said, the place yesterday was just packed. I mean, we had a lot of people coming
around
by.
700 people were there, and the
I didn't work with all of them.
just about 600 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Felt like it. Yeah.
But the other thing, you know, flying is a sponsor of the Proficiency Center here in at AirVenture, but we also are putting on a Proficiency Center of our own at our Flying Aviation Expo in Palm Springs, October 15th through the 17th. It's a show that really caters to proficient transportation pilots, people who really use their airplanes to get places. And the Proficiency Center is addressing those very needs that you were talking about, Rob.
So will it be the same kind of system with VFRs and IFRs?
Absolutely. Or? They'll have both IFR and VFR scenarios. And we're also going to be having tech talks, again, sponsored by Jeppesen.
Oh, wow.
So
excellent.
It's going to be kind of a slightly scaled down version of exactly what we're doing here at AirVenture.
You could spend days just in the Proficiency Center.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second. That's really exciting. So that's flight simulation you've seen here. What about hardware? What have you seen that you love?
Well, I think the most exciting thing that's happened here at AirVenture is the first delivery of the Icon A5 LSA. It's a very beautiful airplane, super sexy, very well engineered. The fit and finish of it is absolutely world class. It's like you're looking at an Audi or a Mercedes or something. And
sweet.
And it's Flying has flown it. Our senior editor, Pia Berquist, flew it out in California the other week and just gave it rave reviews, as have just about everybody else who's flown, including EAA President CEO Jack Pelton, who loved the airplane. And I think that's been a fantastic thing for the industry, because it gives a really cool airplane a lot of visibility, not just to pilots, but to non-pilots alike. And the folks at Icon are talking about really non-pilots being their best market. They're marketing it to people who love active sports, who love the outdoors, and they see this Icon. It's about $250,000 to get one, and they see this as being a vehicle to do things that are fun, exciting, adventurous, and that's a great way for us to expand our pilot population, which is a big need we have.
Yeah, and for me, of course, I loved it because just having gotten a seaplane rating, I realized that there aren't a whole lot of seaplanes by us down in Chicago. But if we could just get our club to get an Icon, that would be really nice.
That way, look, I saw it on the trailer behind a Range Rover, and it was, like you said, a sexy little beast. It looked like everything, you know, like the Airstream kind of feel, you know, with the classic Range Rover, and it just looked good. It looked like something you would feel good about taking out and, you know, putting it in the water, opening the wings up, and going.
But it gets even better than that, because Kirk Hawkins, who's the president and CEO of Icon, who's just a brilliant guy, has insisted on making that airplane stall resistant and spin resistant, and he's created spin resistant. You can stall the airplane, but it's not going to go into a spin. And it has a parachute on top of that too, a whole airplane recovery parachute system. So it's an airplane that has a great deal of safety margin built into it. So for new pilots, that's a tremendous advantage, because it really helps to cut down the likelihood of loss of control. It's not impossible to lose control of it, but it's a lot less likely. And that, along with other safety programs that they're implementing on the training end, they're really looking to make an airplane that is that has a lot less risk involved with operating it for low time pilots, but that's still really fun to fly to.
But you know what I think is interesting is, if you look at the Cirrus and you look at the Icon, you have airplanes that look pretty cool. I mean, they look very new generation, and as opposed to some that, you know, most of us grew up with that are nice, but they are still based on very old designs. But people kind of like that new look, I guess, don't they?
All of us here do, it's for sure. And we, you know, we who've been in aviation for a little while, we love the vintage stuff. You know, I grew up with a Cessna 195 in the family. It's just a gorgeous airplane. But the Cirrus is beautiful. The Corvallis, the Cessna TTX, the 50 Diamond Stars. They're beautiful, sleek new airplanes that say modern all over them. And that's the thing that's going to bring new people into aviation is that kind of cool hardware.
I think you're right. So where can people find you on the field or Flying Magazine on the field here at the show?
Our flying staffers are all over the show. Anything exciting that's happening, you're going to find one of us there.
Oh, that's awesome. And does Flying have a tent this year? Ah, wonderful. Then they should look for you with your beautiful blue Flying Aviation Expo shirts on. Or they can go to Flying Mag.
Flyingmag.com.
Flyingmag.com. Awesome. Robert, thank you so much
for stopping
by. It was great to see you again. We're going to go be right back with the Attitude Adjustment.